risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 14. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the text. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Last week, Jesus said, "I am the door." We hear these "I am" statements here in John's gospel. And there is no way into the safety of God's peace except through the one door. There is no way to cover guilt and shame other than passing through that door. It is in Christ and Christ alone that we have access to God. Jesus says, "I am the way." He is the only way. No one can come to the Father except through me, Jesus says. And as we just sang, Father welcomes all his children to his family through his Son. This is the truth. Jesus says, "I am the truth. My word is truth." The world outside of Christ's church questions whether or not there is even such a thing as truth. I mean, this is nothing new, and it shouldn't surprise us that Satan has led people to call into question the existence of absolute truth. It's like we saw last week. Jesus says, "I am the door through which you must enter to find the safe protection of being in the flock of the Good Shepherd." Well, how do you enter? Most likely, you entered through baptism. Baptism is the door. As we said last week, baptism equals Jesus. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Word of God, the Word who was made flesh, is combined with that water. It is certainly not just water that is doing these great things. In baptism, you receive Jesus. Your sin, it's forgiven. It's separated from you as far as the east is from the west, Scripture says. It is buried with Christ in baptism, Romans chapter 6. You have been raised to a new life in Christ, also Romans chapter 6. And Satan wants you to question this. He wants you to have no confidence in this or in any of the mysteries or the miraculous nature of God or his word or the gifts of his sacraments. Jesus says, "I am the truth." When he was on trial, Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, "I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate famously replies to Jesus, "What is truth?" That's the question Satan wants all of us to ask. If he can get you to buy into the philosophy of the day, the philosophy of this world, and call into question whether or not we can really know anything, we can really know that anything is true, well, the next step is to call into question whether or not God is true, or in this case, the truth. And Jesus clearly says, "I am the truth." And these "I am" statements, there's more going on. It's not just him saying, "Oh, this is me, the truth." That word "I am," that's the formal name of God. That's Yahweh. This is the name God gave, that he declared himself to be when he spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus is speaking in very clear terms just as to who he is and how there is no way to come to God other than through the "I am." I am the truth. Well, what is the truth? There's only one truth that matters. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is our joy. This is our hope. This is why we can approach this day and approach God Himself with confidence. Because Christ is risen in His body. In previous sermons this Easter season, I talked about the just overwhelming mountain of evidence for the empty tomb. You have to want to not believe that there was an empty tomb. The evidence is too much. But faith doesn't come through archaeology. Faith comes through hearing. Have confidence in the Word of God. That's where we place our trust. And this is the confidence that Stephen shows when he looks to the heavens and says the same words that Christ did when he drew his final breath. He said, "Receive my spirit." I preached on this on Good Friday. This is a prayer of confidence in the resurrection. Confidence that Christ is risen in his body, and so will you rise in your body. Stephen had this confidence. He knew this was the truth. Christ is the truth. What is the truth that Christ our Lord accomplished? He showed charity to those who did not deserve it. He came to love the unlovable. He came to show mercy upon those who do not deserve mercy. Paul says in Romans 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are the undeserving and unlovable who God chose to love anyway. And the psalmist says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. It's from Psalm 86. Now, the verse prior to that in the psalm says, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. There in the upper room, here in our gospel reading, we hear Jesus tell his disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Greater works than Jesus. I haven't healed too many blind or deaf people, you know, lately. I haven't raised anyone from the dead. Greater works? Jesus can't be talking about the miracles. At least not the type of miracles that we associate with Jesus throughout his ministry. The psalmist says, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. The great and wondrous thing that God does for his children is to teach them his way. Jesus says, I am the way. We pray with the psalmist, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. You have to always remember that the Old Testament, that's all about Jesus too. One of my favorite quotes of Luther, you can cut the Bible on any page, it will bleed the blood of Christ. Jesus says to the disciples that they will do, and anyone who believes will do greater works than he did during his earthly ministry. Well, what is greater? Jesus having a man born blind wash mud off of his eyes so that he has clear vision? Or here in Christ's church, having a man born dead in his sin washed clean in the waters of baptism? This is the greater miracle. When Pentecost comes, Peter preaches one sermon and 3,000 come to faith and are baptized that day. When Jesus ended his 3-year ministry of preaching and teaching and performing miracle after miracle, there were 120 followers. That's what the book of Acts says. 3 years of doing this, 120. It's not because Jesus was a lousy preacher, but there are several truths at work. First of all, miracles of healing and signs and wonders have never been the best way to create lasting faith. Of this, I mean, there's just countless examples throughout the Bible. And secondly, the Holy Spirit, the one who creates faith, he works through means. We call God's word and sacraments the means of grace. They are the vehicles through which God's grace comes to you. I mean, God doesn't just, you know, waft his grace down from the ceiling at night in your house. The Holy Spirit doesn't come down and say, oh, here I am. He comes to you in word and sacrament. Think back 2 weeks ago to the disciples there at Emmaus. Jesus was only revealed to them when? In the breaking of the bread. God has told you how he will reveal himself to you, how he will create faith in you and maintain that faith in you. It's through baptism, it's through the written word, it is through the preached word, and it is through the word made flesh who still remains among us and comes to us under the form of bread and wine. This is the greater miracle, that we who were once blind can now see. We who once were like the Pharisees, plugging our ears so that we would not hear the truth of Stephen's words, we now rejoice to hear the sweet words of the good news of salvation in Christ. One of the often overlooked lines out of the book of Acts was in our reading today, that many of the priests during this time were coming to faith. Many of those who have condemned Jesus, who yelled, crucify him, were coming to faith. Stephen says to the crowd, do not hold this sin against them, just as Jesus prayed that his Father would forgive them, for they know not what they do. God's mercy and grace has come to those people through the preached word, through baptism, as Christ is revealed in the breaking of the bread. That is the greater miracle. And this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life. And we pray along with the psalmist, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth, that I may have the resurrection and the life. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.